So what does wellness mean to you? Welcome back to another edition of Wellness Wednesdays. I am your host, Eric Clard. This week, we're going to switch things up a little bit. We usually interview cool people to tell us about kind of their wellness journeys, some wellness tidbits. And this week, I'm actually going to be doing another monologue and give you a little bit of insight into some of the stuff I've been doing lately to increase my wellness and my health, my vitality, all that jazz. This actually stems from a post that I did from this weekend talking about why I've become more of a caveman. And I'm going to go into a little more details. This post actually saw a lot of love on social media, on Facebook and Twitter as well. It was not something I kind of expected. I was actually expecting a little bit more backlash, but I'll explain to you what I mean by becoming a little bit more of a caveman and go into some details on some of the stuff that I'm doing now to help. Whether you know or not, I am a bit of an information junkie. I read a lot. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I read a lot of articles as well. I try to basically be a sponge, especially in this day and age. There's so much information out there. Obviously, you have to decide between the good and the bad. But really trying to, now that I've been lucky to get exposed to some pretty cool people over the last few years, I usually try to go to those trusted sources and stick with that. Some of the things have changed over the last 6 months for me. One of the big things has been, and I talked a little bit about relaxation and how I've relaxed a bit more, or I tried to relax a bit more in the last monologue. This one I'm going to talk about kind of the holistic approach to it all. One of the big things has been nutrition, really going back to the root, if you want to look at it that way, and go to kind of an all-natural diet. I've taken out basically grains completely, all refined carbs, sugar out. I cook a lot more. I make a lot of soups. I eat a lot of salads, a lot of veggies, a lot of sautéed veggies. Some meat, a lot of nuts, seeds. That actually would be the basis of my diet most days. I've been going to meatless Mondays. So every Monday I try not to have meat, which was really kind of hard at first, just because it seems like in North America, all our meals are kind of, you know, are centered around meat. But once you get the hang of it and you realize that there are so many options out there, and it also, because I do a lot of intermittent fasting on Mondays, I actually don't eat until lunch usually, so it actually takes a meal out of the equation altogether. So diet also has a lot of eggs and fish. Usually everything that's got a lot of healthy fats. I drizzle a lot of my food with some olive oil, and the such. So it's been pretty good in terms of my energy levels are up. And the big thing too is my energy is pretty constant. I have good energy throughout, as opposed to having those cycles where you eat breakfast and then you're hungry again at 11, and then you eat a big lunch, and then you're hungry, and then you're kind of dead tired at 1, and then you are starving by the middle afternoon. Whereas kind of now, especially that I've done a lot of fasting over the last 6 months, I can go hours and hours without a meal. And I'm sure most of my friends that knew me before, I used to get hangry a lot, where if I didn't eat every 2 hours, it would be, you know, someone was going to pay for it. So now it seems like I've kind of gained a lot more control over things. A lot of this approach has been something that's been in the works for a while. I've really cut back carbs probably about 2 years ago, and then kind of now it's even more so. But some of it too has been I became a Primal Health Coach, and I'm a big fan of what they're doing. Mark Sisson and the folks over there are doing. You might know Mark from Mark's Daily Apple, and a lot, again, it goes back to becoming a bit of a caveman in everything that you do. And I really like how they're approaching it all, not just nutrition or not just exercise. They're also talking about sleep and all that stuff and sun exposure, and I'll talk about some of that stuff in a little bit. So yeah, so food is I am spending more time in the kitchen now though, but I look at it as an investment, and I look at it as it's something I actually enjoy. I usually put on a little bit of music and go get cooking, and it could be a few hours, and it's done. Especially on a Sunday afternoon or Sunday night, I'll cook a little bit for the week, and it's actually something I'm looking forward to. Now, it's not something I dread, like, oh, I gotta cook again on Sunday. One more thing with the nutrition, I've tried to be a little more strategic with my alcohol intake. One, I'm trying to do a little bit less, and two is that I try to keep it to dry red wine. Alcohol is not good for you. It doesn't matter how many studies you read, especially in excess. But I find a glass or two of wine on a Friday night is not going to kill me. And even though it kind of slows down my metabolism and changes the way that your body metabolizes nutrients, I think it's worth it. I do enjoy wine. Probably a little too much. I wish I didn't enjoy it as much. another thing that's really made a big change is how active I am. Not really the frequency, but more the intensity. Now I end up walking a lot. I remember if you would ask me a few years ago if I enjoyed walking, I'd be like, well, not really. I'd rather go run somewhere. I've really taken kind of a step back and try to import walking into my day to day. One of the big things that's made an impact on me is my fitness tracker. Keeping track of your steps is something that fitness trackers do, and it keeps you accountable. You want to get to your 10,000 steps a day, and you want to make sure that you're walking every hour. Especially this new one that I have, this new Fitbit. It nudges me every hour to make sure I get my 250 steps. So it's a nice constant reminder. Sometimes you're at your computer doing some work, and next thing you know, an hour and a half passes by, and then you get up and you get a little bit stiff. I find just walking around is a nice way to break up the day, a nice way to get sun exposure, a nice way to get some fresh air. I try to get as much fresh air as possible. And I try to play as much as I can now, whether it's playing with my niece and nephew, getting on the floor with them, or just on the weekend, I was playing with a buddy's kid, playing road hockey. Again, it's not something I do on a day-to-day basis, unfortunately, but it's something that I think we need to involve in our lives a lot more. Sometimes I'll actually have been started doing some gymnastic training and just doing some tumbling and some poses that are completely silly. And especially if you know my frame and my size, I'm not the most graceful person. But actually, I look at it as kind of a playtime, and try some handstands and try a bunch of different things. And I fail miserably a lot of times. But again, for me, it's just trying to get out that comfort zone and trying something new and learning how my body reacts. So obviously, for me, play, a big thing is being active, whether it's out for a cycle, out for a snowshoe, out for a run, playing some golf, just getting active. And again, it's most of the time it's some lot of lower intensity stuff than I used to do. But my body is really reacting well in terms of less tightness, less soreness, and I can stay active way more often. Whereas before, I would probably do more intensity and maybe some more mileage, but it's like I had to take some days off, or sometimes some weeks off to recover. Whereas now, I might not push myself as much, but I can get out every day. This weekend alone, I got in some really good hikes over a few days, and yeah, the body is feeling great. Got lots of fresh air. I think outdoors and sun exposure, fresh air exposure is a great thing, and it's something that I do more and more. Another exposure that I think really helps for me, and from a lot of people that have been hearing about, is cold water exposure. Whether it's ice cold water, which is what I do cold baths almost every day, or cold showers, and then I do some cold baths once in a while. It really gets you out of your comfort zone. At first, your brain's freaking out, then you realize it's not that bad. So it's something that's really been helping me, my quality of life. You feel so good after a nice cold shower, and at first, just try it out. Start off with 30 seconds of cold to end your shower, or even in between, go to 30 seconds of cold and then go back to some warm stuff. At first, you're kind of dreading it and you're kind of almost bracing for it. And then now I just try to relax and breathe through it. And it's helped me a lot for just kind of trying to anticipate. A lot of times we go through lives and through our lives and we dread something. And then we do it and we're like, it wasn't that bad. So a lot of times I just try to not psych myself out. And I find those cold showers have really helped. Sun exposure is something I've been doing a lot more recently. I tried, as soon as I get up, I try to go outside. And even if it's for a few minutes, maybe even enjoy a couple sips of coffee in the sun. I've got a porch that kind of backs on to the sun. So I get to do a little bit of that. And it's, I don't know, it's also a moment that I kind of take to myself, take a couple deep breaths and think of usually of some gratitude stuff. And that's made a big difference as well. Just getting kind of taking a couple of moments throughout the day to breathe and provide some space in your life. I know it sounds kind of hairy-fairy, but being a business person and being very busy, it's something that I've been used to. But now I'm really trying to take some time to provide my mind a bit of a rest and to kind of enjoy and smell the flowers. And it's made a big difference in terms of my appreciation for life. The also exposure to people, especially people that I love, getting out there, and something as silly as hugging people has been proven to help. And I probably have a little longer than usual hugs for some people, and it might freak them out. But then they realize, you know, I come from a good place, and it's beneficial for both people when you're doing the long hugs. You'll get some germs in between there, and germs are actually pretty much a good thing. But it's a lot of times people forget that we're humans and we crave contact and we crave all kinds of stuff. And I know it's in the real world, we're like, oh no, we can't touch anyone or we can't, you know, share germs with anyone. But the more you can get out there and do some of this stuff, I know it might be a little uncomfortable at first, but just try it and you'll see how it feels for you. I've been trying to get exposed, especially the people that lift you up or the people that you enjoy spending time with. I've been trying to be a little conscious about how I spend my time, and the Debbie Downers of my life have kind of basically all taken out. And the best is when you can combine people and some fun activities, like going for a hike with a friend, catching up. I did a walking meeting last week, and it was a beautiful day, which kind of helps. And then so you can get some good dialogue going while you're walking, and then you end it with a hug. Everyone's happy, and we can kind of move on. Another big pillar I find with respect to wellness is sleep. There was a great book written by Arianna Huffington from the Huffington Post fame. It talks about how most people don't sleep enough or well enough. I've been really putting in some measures to help me sleep. One, I find, is getting fresh air and getting sun and getting activities done. And two is my lovely mother helped me put up some blackout curtains for my room. So now when I go to bed, it is, you know, pitch black, which helps. It's been proven to help with sleep. I also keep my room very cold and put on a fan, and sometimes put on my sound machine, so listen to waves and gets me nice and thinking. And I do have a bit of a routine now at night to kind of help me unwind. I try to read a little bit more. I try to get away from screens as much as possible. I actually dock my phone, and for those who know me, they know that my phone is basically, you know, joined to the hip with me, but I'm trying to take a little bit more space now, especially later or at night, and dock my phone in the room next door and charge it there. And it's an incentive to get up when, you know, your phone's ringing and you can't just roll over and hit it. You have to actually get up and go to the room over. So that's a little hack that I helped, that's helped me quite a bit. And when I get up in the middle of the night, I'm not tempted to go on the phone and, you know, go spend a half hour on Facebook or, you know, on checking out some sports scores. So it's kind of taken away some of those easy, mindless things and being a little more strategic about what you're doing. But I find, trying to get rid of screen time as much as possible. Unfortunately, in the world that I live in, like right now, I'm actually looking at a screen because I'm recording this podcast, and it's unfortunately has to be done through a computer, or that's the way, it's the only way I know how. So it's not that you can completely eliminate it, but the more you can minimize, especially at certain times. I try to do a routine in the morning before I get on the computer. So I'll look at, I'll do some yoga or some breathing exercises. I've also gotten into the Wim Hof method. And if you don't know who that is, look him up. Wim Hof, W-I-M-H-O-F. He is a daredevil, a Dutch daredevil who's done all kinds of stuff. He really got me into the cold exposure, different breathing patterns. And it's been very cool to kind of stretch yourself a little bit to kind of what you're used to. And some of the, and I said this in another podcast before or another blog post before, when I do some retention work with the Wim Hof method, it's probably the calmest I've ever been in my entire life. So that's been a bit, a nice little change. So all these little things, again, all in themselves, I think they are going to be changes, and they're going to take a little bit of time if you want to get into them. And it's not going to change your life overnight, but I've gone into a more of a rhythm. I can get a little bit more out of life, it seems like. I haven't done a happiness survey to see if I'm happier, but I do feel that I'm on the right track. And again, a lot of times people, it's not like you want to be completely happy all the time, but you want to know that you've got a bit of a system, and you're kind of on the right track to something or on the way to something. So again, all these little things in itself are not going to change your life, but I think if you put a few of those things together, your quality of life is going to be so much higher. So, and one last thing too that made me a bit of more of a caveman is that I've grown a bit of a beard, and some people like it, some people don't. It's been such a polarizing issue for some folks, and I find it kind of funny because it's just facial hair, and it's probably not going to stay forever. It's just, it's been fun, especially through hockey playoffs. It's one of those kind of terrible traditions, but it's something that I end up doing a lot of the times. And now that hockey's over, I got to decide what I'm going to do with this beard. But hockey starts again in a couple weeks, so who knows. But it's been, a lot of people have tweeted about it or sent me a Facebook message saying, I love the beard, I hate it. So it's been fun on that part. That's it for me for this week on the monologue. It's been almost 18 minutes of a little mini rant, but hopefully you get a little bit of insight into what happens in my brain or what I'm thinking about when I take some of these wellness decisions. So it's changed a little bit. Again, it hasn't happened overnight, but it's something that I find that my wellness journey is slowly coming along by being exposed to a bunch of different things. If you like these monologues or don't, let me know. I'd love to get your feedback. I've gotten some really good feedback on the podcast with some of the different episodes. So it's always nice to know that people listen to this and they're getting value. So it's keep that coming. And if you have any guests or any topics you want me to approach, you know me, and more than happy to make myself sound silly in order to learn a little bit along the way. So until next week, you've been listening to Wellness Wednesdays. Until I've been your host, Eric Collard. Until next week, be well.